which he shouldn't do, but he did it, the farmer would pull the manure out of his barn and into this pond. And when I was taking biology in school, I went to the pond and I took some water out. I brought it to school. I put it under a microscope. And you wouldn't believe the critters were in that water. It was pretty gross. Now listen, it got really hot at times in Chilliwack, but you would have never, ever seen one of us kids swimming in that pond. I'm telling you, no matter how thirsty we were, we ain't going to take in a swig of water from that pond. It wasn't healthy. You hear what I'm saying? And the reason I bring up this pond is because what happens so many times in our Christian walk is we oftentimes find us in a similar pond like that. Now, it may not be water. It may not be a physical thing like that, but we may find ourselves in a place where we are participating in things that are absolutely sick. Maybe they're in unhealthy lifestyles and disobedience and rebellion, things that make us spiritually sick. And God says, don't go there. Don't go there. See, Israel was in a place where they found themselves swimming in such a pond. They found them swimming and doing things that were not healthy to them. They had chosen to reject what God told them to do. See, God told them, hey, guys, here's what I want. I want you to build my temple. Okay, fine, we'll do it. But all along, they were living a double lifestyle. And they're finding themselves in a toxic situation. I want to talk to you today about toxic waste. Hallelujah. A good encouraging portion of scripture from Haggai chapter 2, verses 10 to 19. And I'm going to read this through the service here. So let's just pray together and we'll jump right into this. Father, I thank you that you are the God of the humble. I thank you that Jesus showed us true humility as he laid aside his very essence, his very godlike qualities to be part of this planet, to walk on this planet, to go through the challenges, Father, to go through the different temptations that we face on a daily basis, and yet he remains strong. Help us, Lord, to understand the importance of remaining strong as well as we face temptation, as we face sin. God, help us to rise above and not to fall into these things. So guide our time here this morning. Lord, have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk to you today about the importance of keeping yourself clean. And see, what happened here was God told the nation to rebuild the temple. We talked about it last time that they got all the wood and then they let it sit for quite a long period of time. They rebuilt, they restarted, relaunched. 2 months later, this message now comes to the prophet Haggai. They had been doing some of the work, but they were living in a way that was contrary to what God was wanting from them. And the first thing that they were doing is they were living a life of haphazard holiness. Let me read this to you from Haggai chapter 2, verse 10. We're going to read just a couple of verses here, 10 to 12. It says this: on the 24th day of the ninth month in the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Haggai. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Ask the priest what the law says. If a person carries consecrated meat in the fold of his garment and that fold touches some bread or stew, some wine, oil, or other food, does it become consecrated? The priest answered, no. Now, I love object lessons, and I love this about God. He uses many different object lessons, and he uses a big one back here in this portion. See, purity was a big deal for the Israelites back then. It should be a big deal for us today as well. Are you with me? Are you still following me? Absolutely should be a big deal today. But see, what happens back then is God was saying to the people, look, when you offer something to me, it's got to be pure. So in other words, if you're going to come to me and you're going to offer me a lamb, don't offer me something that was, well, you know what, that one's got a broken leg. He's got the sniffles. Ah, we'll give it to God. You got a little bit of spare change. You know what? Ah, we'll drop that into the offering plate. You know, that corn that we didn't eat, you know what? It's good enough for God. And God says, no. Now hear me. It's not good enough to give me your throwaways. I want your best, is what he was saying to them. And he says one of the best thing was to bring this meat unto the Lord, the best of the best. Now let me ask you something. When you think of your walk with the Lord, when you think of what you present to the Lord, now think about it. Don't answer too quickly. Do you give him your best? Think about it. Do you, see, here's the thing, and I'm not just talking about finances, though what the Bible tells us to bring the first to the Lord, before anything else, bring it to the Lord, but I'm talking in other areas. I'm talking your time, your energy, your focus. Is it your best, or do we just kind of give God what's left over? Here, Lord, here's a few coins, or here, Lord, here's, I got a little bit of time, I can commit. He wants our best. In those days, the priest was to bring the best of the meat, and he would, for some reason, what he would do is he would carry this meat in his garment in something called a lepet. Okay, I've got a picture here of this. Now, I'm not really sure why a priest would put a piece of meat in his garment. Only thing I could think of is I had a grandma. Grandmas, you know you do this, okay? You know you do this, maybe moms as well. When you're out to eat and the kids haven't finished it, you know you wrap it up and you put it in your purse, don't you? Come on, you put it in your purse. It could always be good later on. I mean, it's hard to do that with a steak, to wrap it up in a napkin and put it in your purse. But we always take things with us. Well, what the priest did is they would carry this piece of meat, and considered a holy piece of meat, consecrated or given unto God. And what he's saying is this, what the Lord was saying was, look, when you do this, when you carry this piece of meat, it's holy, and that will in turn make that garment holy, but it doesn't mean that if you take that garment that is considered holy, and now you touch someone else with it, they're all of a sudden holy as well. Except, of course, Pastor Les, all of us, and he got the blessing. Hallelujah. It doesn't mean that makes it holy as well. That's what he's basically saying here. If a person carries, verse 12, consecrated meat in the fold of his garment, and that touches some bread or stew, some wine, oil, or other food, does it become consecrated? The priest said no. So what's that all mean? What's that all mean for us here today? See, here's the thing, folks. You don't get holiness. You don't get righteousness. You don't get a pure life by hanging around the right places and the right people, okay? You can be in this church every day of the week. You can live in this church, which, quite honestly, I almost do, okay? And that's not going to make you holy. You following me? You can be reading the right books. You can be hanging around the right people. It's going to help, but it's not going to make you holy. I know it's hard to believe, but I do go to the gym, a few times during the week. I remember a few months ago, there was a guy that would come out every morning, and it was great to watch, because what he would do is he would walk in front of a machine, and he'd walk all the way to these machines here. Then he'd walk back onto the other side of the gym, and he'd walk past these machines here. He would sit down a little bit, but then he'd walk back and forth and back and forth. And I'm watching this guy. I'm thinking, what is he doing? And it came to me. He's trying to get strength through osmosis. He's trying to suck it in from everybody else. See, he's thinking, man, if I walk far back and forth enough, I'm gonna see all these jocks, and they're just gonna ooze testosterone and all that stuff, and I'm just, and he's gonna get bigger. It doesn't work that way. Believe me, I've been trying. It just doesn't work that way. We have to, folks, in order for us to receive from the Lord that holiness, it comes through a relationship with Jesus. I was hoping I'd get a little bit more than that. No, I'm going to say it again. I'm giving you a chance here. If we want to have holiness and righteousness and being right standing with us and God, it's got to come with a relationship, from a relationship with Jesus. Hallelujah. That's what I'm talking about. See, folks, it's got to, we can't, holiness is not passed on by osmosis or by being in the right place. And the same thing that the prophet was talking about here, he was saying it's got to be something where you are walking and living in that, not just being around the right people. See, folks, here's the thing. If you are in a place where you're not walking in holiness, where if you're in a place where you're not receiving from the Lord, you are in a deadly place of stepping into some toxic stuff. And there's a lot of temptation that comes from that. Don't go there. Don't go there. Be in a place where God can speak to you. That brings me to my next point. We have to be aware of infectious impurity. Then Haggai said this, if a person person's defiled by contact with a dead body, touches one of those things, does it become defiled? Yes, the priest replied, it becomes defiled. Then Haggai said, so it is with the people and this nation in my sight, declares the Lord. Whatever they do and whatever they offer, there is defiled. See, as being in the, around the right holy things won't necessarily make you holy, being around the wrong things will most likely bring you to a place of defilement. Okay? Are you following me? See, what he's talking about here in this portion of Scripture was touching a dead body. The prophet was talking about what God said to Moses in Numbers 19. It says this, whoever touches the dead body of anyone will be unclean for 7 days. Now, I'm thinking most of you aren't going around touching dead bodies unless you're a mortician or you work in the hospital. So that's probably not an issue for you. But sometimes we find ourselves touching things that we should not touch, places that we should not go, doing things we should not do. Now, I've learned something, guys. Gentlemen, listen to me. I've learned something. I've learned that there are certain things that I do not do, say, or touch when I'm around with my wife. You following me? There are certain things you just don't say around your spouse, your wife. Okay, if you don't know that yet, we need to chat. Okay? Do you know there are also certain things that God does not want you to say, God does not want you to do, God actually hates? Did you know that? Did you know that God gives you a list of things he hates? Now, if I can give you a list of things your wife hates, you're probably going to heed to it. How much more will you heed to a list of things that God hates? Let me take you there. Let me take you there. Let me take you to Proverbs chapter 8, verse 16. This is what it says. There are 6 things the Lord hates, 7 that are detestable to him. First of all, haughty eyes. Haughty means proud or arrogant. It's all about me. Come on. Right? Arrogance. It's the opposite of humility. He hates it. Listen, that's a strong word, but that's what he uses. He hates arrogance. Don't touch it. It is impure, and it will affect you and infect you in a negative way. Secondly, he hates lying, a lying tongue. You know, it's funny how we categorize sin, isn't it? It's funny how we say some sin is really bad. Going out and shooting somebody, now that's bad. That's really bad. Going out and ripping somebody off or stealing something, that's bad. Witchcraft, yeah, man, we've got no problem understanding how bad that is. Worshiping idols, we know that God is not cool with that kind of stuff. But did you know the same verse that talks about some of these things that I just mentioned also talks about how much God hates lying? Revelation 21, verse 8, I got it up there. It says this, but the cowards, unbelieving, the corrupt, murderers, the immoral, those who practice witchcraft, idol worshiper, and what? All liars. Their fate is in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. It's pretty clear. It's pretty clear what God thinks of lying. So, folks, if you find yourself going there, stop. Stop. Don't allow yourself to lie. Don't touch it. It's impure. It will infect you in a negative way. The next is hands that shed innocent blood. Now, there's not too many of us who go out and shed innocent blood. At least I hope not. But our country, folks, we got to pray for our country, don't we? I read a statistic from the National Post, and it says that every year in Canada, we kill 110 children, 110,000 children, 110,000 kids through abortion. And I just want to say something. God hates hands that shed innocent blood. But I also want to say this. If that has happened in your life, God loves you. God loves the child. That child is with Jesus. And I know there are those that are broken because of that act that they have done. And there is a great, great ministry out there called the Pregnancy Options Center. That's why we've got that bottle back there, by the way, is we want to support them in their work in helping ladies that have had abortions or aren't sure what they should do. And we just want to support them. So please, make sure you make your way to that bottle in the back there. Hands that shed innocent blood is something that God hates, absolutely hates. He hates a heart that devises wicked schemes. A heart in the Bible means the mind or all that we think about. Now listen, I'm not against harmless pranks. I had a assistant pastor who we fired. No, we didn't fire him. We moved on from here because he put some coffee in my tea one day. It's for him it was a harmless prank and it probably it was. Of course I'm no better. I love careful. As my assistant pastor back says, amen. I like to stand behind the doors and scare the EBGBs out of our other ladies in the office. Actually, there are some things that aren't too bad, aren't harmless. I got a great picture of you. I haven't tried this, but it would be kind of fun to do in certain circumstances. Don't do it to me. Go to the next picture, please, the next slide. So what you see there is a blowhorn underneath a chair. So a person sits down on that. They'd be getting up real quick or behind the door. Taped to the door, yeah, that would cause some problems. Harmless pranks aren't bad. Okay, maybe they can be. That could possibly be a lawsuit in the making. But when we start devising things to really hurt people, when we are looking at ways to do things that scheming ways of getting even in a negative way, God hates it. He hates it. We need to let it go. If somebody has hurt you and you just want to get back to them in an evil way, let it go because God hates it. Next one, he says, God hates feet that are quick to rush into evil, that are enthusiastic about being involved in activities that bring pain to someone. Years ago, you can go to the next slide. Years ago, the people would love to go and watch a hanging. I mean, that's before my time and before anybody's time in here. And it would be a big family thing. Some of them would love to tie the rope themselves. That's the kind of thing that he's talking about. Feet that are quick to rush into evil, to see something evil. Don't go there. Don't go there. He hates a false witness who pours out lies. Lying to get someone into trouble. Hear it specifically, lying to get someone in trouble in court. But, okay, kids, you're with me. Some of you are half asleep here. Kids, you've never done this, right, to get your brother or sister into trouble, right? Never, right? Told something to get them into trouble. God hates when we try to have a false witness to get somebody into trouble. He hates it when a man stirs or a woman stirs up dissension among brothers. Two simple words here, what he's talking about is gossip or slander. God hates it. He hates it. And I tell you this list here, first of all, because I want you to look at this list. What the things that God hates isn't things that are things that are too difficult to stay away from. these are things that will hurt others or hurt your relationship with him. He wants us to have a solid relationship. So he's saying to us, don't touch it. Don't touch these things. Don't go near them because I hate them, he says, and because it will bring you into that slime pit. It's toxic. Avoid it at all costs. At all costs, or it will lead you to regrettable results, which is my next point. Verse 15 says this. Now give careful thought to this from this day on onward. Consider how things were before one stone was laid on another in the Lord's temple. When everyone came to a heap of 20 measures, there was only 10. When anyone came to a wine vat to draw 50 measures, there were only 20. I struck all the work of your hands with blight, mildew, and hail, yet you did not turn to me, declares the Lord. From this day on, from this 24th day of the ninth month, give careful thought to the day when the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid. Give careful thought. Is there yet any seed left in the barn? Until now, the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree have not borne fruit. What is he talking about? He's saying, look, guys, there's been a result of your sin. See, the whole society, the whole economy was wrapped around farming at that time. And these people were going out, and they're going out to pick some grain, and they're going, where's the grain? They're going out and they're looking at the wine vats and trying to get their wine, and it's not there. There's nothing there. They're looking at the trees, and the trees are empty. They're looking all around, and where there should have been an abundance. This was December when he's talking to them. The barn should have been full of grain, and there was nothing there. And they're going, what is going on? And God's going, wake up. For those who are sleeping here this morning, wake up, he says to them, because you have chosen to go in a way that is contrary to what I want. There are going to be repercussions to that. There are going to be repercussions to that. The interesting thing is, now I don't know about you, but if I'm going through trouble, I'm on my face before God saying, God, please help me. Yeah? Anybody with me? You're on your face. You're praying out to God and crying out, please, I need your help, and I need it like now. The interesting thing here, Haggai chapter 2, verse 17, it says this, yet you did not turn to me. There cannot be more sad words in the Bible than those few words. Yet you did not turn to me. Where are you turning in your times of trouble? What are you looking at? What are you looking for? Who are you getting your strength from? See, these people should have known better, because one of their ancestors, one of their former kings, the wisest king that ever lived, said to them in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. You got to know this one off by heart. Oh, you put it up there already. If my, what? Come on, let's read it. If my people who are called by my name shall humble, oh, leave it up there, and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and what? Heal their land. Amen. See, here's the thing, folks. Sometimes we look at our situation and God's just saying, are you turning? Are you turning from those things you need to turn from? Are you turning to me? Are you turning to him is what he's asking us? Or are we living in a place where we are not heeding his instructions and there are regrettable results? I did some research this last little while about people that you may know very, very well, that chose or were thrust into certain areas of their life that caused them to have regrettable results. One of them you may know very, very well is this young man. Can you fire that up there? You all know this. This is of course, Obama, and this is what he says. When Malia and Sasha were young, work kept me away from home more than it should. At times, the burden of raising our two daughters has fallen too heavily on Michelle. During the campaign, not a day went by that I didn't wish I could spend more time with the family I love more than anything else in the world. regrettable results. Next one, some of you may know this guy, some of you may not. His name is Usher. He's a hip-hop singer, and he says this. He says when he was really getting involved in music, he spent more and more time away from home, and he said his dad got very, very ill during that time. And this is what he said. Instead of being there when dad was sick, I was working. There is no amount of money that could have fixed my dad's health, but I could have just spent that time with him. His dad passed away when he was traveling. You may know this man. Next slide, please. Mr. Billy Graham, who I absolutely love very dearly. He said, looking back on my life, If I spent more time at home with my family, I wanted to spend more time at home with my family and study more and preach less. He looks back and says, what is most important? Now, granted, he did what was important, but sometimes it takes us away from what God wants from us. And so I say this to you, and I bring these examples to you to say to you, are you allowing things into your life that are taking you away from what is most important? What God wants from you, what God wants from me. I don't want regrettable results. Does any of you? I don't want to end my life someday looking back and saying, man, if I only had more of this. Well, these folks here, there was some serious results because they sinned against the Lord. And they put themselves first, their sin first, and in the end, their economy slowly started to fall apart. But God gives an answer, and I want to end with this. And I don't understand this. God's answer to their sin, God's answer to their situation, God's answer to everything that was said were these simple few words. From this day on, I will bless you. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute, God. What are you talking about? I mean, you should have smote them. Like, what were they thinking? Come on. They weren't doing what they're supposed to be doing. They weren't following you. They weren't. God says, from this day on, I will bless you. Isn't that just like God? He was saying to them, folks, I want you to come back. I want you to come back so I can bless you. I want you to come back, not that I can put you over my knee and give you a good prügel, as we said in German. You can figure out what that means. But I want to bring you back so that you can be blessed by me. So I'm going to end by asking you this. Where are you at today? Where are you at? Are there areas in our lives that we have strayed a little bit from? And it may not be miles away. Maybe there's areas that God's just got to, you know, you got to get back. You got to let go of that. You got to grab onto this. You got to be more focused on what's more important. Maybe there are people in your lives that God wants you to spend more time with that you've neglected. Maybe there is time in the Word that you haven't taken, and God is calling you back to that relationship with Him. I'm going to call Shane and the team up here at this time, and we're gonna spend some time in prayer. We've got time. It's 11:30, folks. We got lots of time, and we're going to take it and spend some time in prayer. If you need prayer for anything, for yourself, maybe there's areas in your life that you need to get back to. The prayer team, why don't you come, prayer team, right away as well. Make your way to the front. The prayer team's up here. They're going to pray with you and pray for you. Maybe there are people that you know of in your life that you just so desperately want to have that relationship with once again. Let them pray with you. Maybe there's situations you're facing. That's why we're here, just to pray for each other. Father, I thank you that you don't push us to the side when we do wrong. I thank you that you said to the people at that time, I will bless you. And Lord, you still want to bless today.
But God, we got to be in a place where we can receive that blessing, where we can receive that forgiveness and that release from the sin that we may have been involved in. God, we got to be in a place where we can hear from you once again. And if there is anybody here today, Lord, where you are calling out to them, but they have walked in a different direction, Lord, would you speak to them now in Jesus' name? Would you bring them back to yourself in Jesus' name? Would you help them to see your love and that you want to bless? So God, I commit this prayer time to you. Holy Spirit, move right now in a fresh way and do the incredible work that only you can do in your precious name. Let's stand at this time. If you need prayer in any area, the prayer team is up here right now to pray with you. We're going to continue to worship the Lord.